irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Jenny Hubby, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with the extremely awesome Jenny Hubby.
Well, hi, everybody. Hi, Bruce.
All right. Well, this week marks the first, kids going back to school in just about every place now, I think, in the United States. This is our back to school week. So congratulations, everybody, on another year and getting your kids back to school. Hopefully you won't be running around trying to fill up binders and last minute supplies, but I know you will. So anyway.
Just a part of life, right?
I tell you, it's my last, sadly, but my last time my youngest son started a senior year. So, wow. We're all excited for him and in this final chapter and the next chapter in his life. So it's going to be fun to see how that all shakes out. Anyway.
That's a huge milestone.
Yes, it is. It is. It's a war zone out there.
So. It is. It's a jungle.
It's not like when we went to school, man. It's like, man, there's so many obstacles out there. Anyhow, yeah. All that said, we have a special guest today. I'm glad to, can't wait to hear what all he's going to share with our listeners today. So, Jenny, why don't you bring on our special guest?
All right. Well, I'll do a little intro for Tony Isla. I'm so excited to have Tony on today. And I met Tony at the Divine Intelligence Institute training when I was providing the marketing training for the coaching students. And Tony was going through the coach certification process for spiritual life coach. Y'all are going to love Tony. Bruce, you're going to love Tony. He is unique. There's nobody like him. He's passionate about what he does. And I tell you, having the combat experience with the Army, being a veteran, having the IT consulting experience, and then he's recently launched his business as an intuitive coach, and what a unique combination. And it's such a great example of how the mind, body, and spirit work together. So I just can't wait to hear more from Tony because I couldn't do him justice. And Tony, I want to welcome you to the show and would love to have you talk about why you got into coaching.
Well, hey, real quick before that, though, if we could, first of all, thank you for your service. You know,
yes.
Wonderful. Number two.
Oh, not a problem.
Yeah, man. Before you go into what you do, let's talk about your combat tours real quick. You know, where you were, because, you know, I'm seeing that you're a combat veteran. In that last sentence, man, on the bio, talk about working with people who had drastically lost their purpose. And I'm thinking like a lot of the soldiers I've worked with PTSD and stuff like that. So sorry to cut you off, man, but can you give our listeners?
Let's just go right to it.
I'm co-owner of this. Right now. No, Tony, but seriously, man, if you don't mind, sir, if you don't mind kind of giving us a little brief snippet of the, you know, combat and duty stations and then dovetail into the coaching, if you don't mind.
Okay, sure. Not a problem. I joined the United States Army at around like late 18 years old, and just looking for something bigger at that point in my life. The war was probably about a year and a half in, the global war on terror, and signed up as a military police 31 Bravo MOS, and was stationed at Fort Hood, Texas, so right dab in the middle of the state. And you know, the experience allowed me to deploy once to Afghanistan. I was there for Operation Iraq. Operation Iraqi Freedom 3, or OIF 3, you know, so to speak. And was there for the first democratic elections. And about 4 years later, I was then deployed again to Afghanistan in 2009. So, and held a more senior leadership role. And prior to all that, I served on the SWAT team, or the Army's version of the SWAT team, for a significant amount of time, and enjoyed every minute of it.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, again, what a great backdrop that is with, you know, your ability to be nimble and adapt to high stress environments, to show resiliency, you know, and to be able to get along with a variety of different people, man, because I know, you know, Fort Hood and some of the folks that have to go to Bragg or whatever, man, you're dealing with a lot of different people, just even amongst yourselves, right? So,
interesting. Correct.
All right. So, go ahead. What was it then as time drew on that got you attracted to coaching and moving forward with that?
So what got me into coaching was stemming, you know, as a foundation from a military experience in which I valued communication and leadership. And throughout my life's experience from the Army on forward, I've known these two qualities pretty much to be the most important and often the most neglected, that people have questions about, don't know how to get into, or just let fear overrun these qualities that are so absent. And I feel by that having this honest communication with others really has expanded, you know, that individual responsibility that people have over themselves, are able to discover that creativity and puts their perspectives in action. And, you know, action is like the most important thing going on with coaching. One thing to talk about it, but the military, you know, you talk about it, you be about it. And holding those kind of things accountable to, you know, clients and people looking for coaching is definitely truly what is most rewarding, because not only do I see it, but they see it for themselves. And just pretty much got the coaching to inspire that glory.
Fantastic.
Wow. Just listening to you, Tony, it's so true with the coaching. It's not just about talking with a client in a session. There has to be action in order for there to be progress. And so it's real easy to tell if the coaching is working for the client, if they're making progress and taking action. And what better person to know about action than you being having the combat duty? And yes, thank you for your service. Really just,
not a problem,
man. You know, it's why we have our freedom today. So thank you for that service.
Oh, definitely not a problem. I enjoyed every minute of it.
So I imagine that your experience, your life experience as a combat veteran is a huge part of your story and probably a great tool to help you work with leaders, business leaders, because it is about results. Business and leadership is really about action and results. And so I'd love to hear you talk about what it means to you to be a leader.
So what it means to be a leader is to have, you know, valuable communication, hold accountability of myself, and be responsible for pretty much everything that I'm being put into, meaning that if I put some action into it, there's only two ways it's going to come out, good or bad. And there's a responsibility to both of them, to the good, owning, you know, myself, being humble and kind of teaching and giving back to the next person. This is how I did it, and take it and do what you can. If it doesn't work for you, then think around it. Having that creativity to think outside the box, you know, that's one of the observations I have. What makes me an effective leader is my creativity. You know, in the military, we call it thinking outside the box. Other people would, you know, call it, well, just have imagination, you know, but really creativity differs from imagination, because imagination is more or less a thought. Creativity has to be put that imagination into action, and being able to exercise that with multiple individuals, with multiple different scenarios, definitely comes from the foundation of the military, where all of us are different, but we have one common goal. And being able to kind of mesh with that in any circumstance allows me to kind of project that leadership where others can get it and run with it immediately.
That's amazing.
So how long have you been seeing clients, Tony? How long have you been at it?
I've been at it about maybe 3-4 months already.
Okay. Have you noticed any trend this early on what kind of clients kind of come to you, or what you think, you know, what particular type of client's going to be best in your wheelhouse?
So, you know, it's funny because I've been coaching all my life. I just never knew what it was called. I didn't know that there was a title for such a thing. At first, I just thought, you know, giving advice. But obviously, we as coaches know that's not really what we do. You know, we kind of lead others to discover their own answers. And that was the crucial part, I guess, what made me acknowledge that. However, a lot of the clients I get usually are business professionals not knowing how to lead or take advantage of their opportunities that are present for them. Or even some looking for a more, you know, spiritual, I wouldn't call it awakening, but more, you know, in that dark place where they lost the sense of, you know, purpose, direction, and motivation to go on doing what they love. And that's, you know, living their life or being with their family.
So some of it is about being a better leader, but a lot of it, some of it is, it's also being a better person and a more optimally functioning person as well.
Yeah, correct. Definitely. It's, you know, it's one thing to be, you know, a good leader, but not to overstep that boundary and become a dictator, you know, do as I say, not as I do type of thing. Again, you know, leadership does require responsibility and accountability on a very deep personal level that you really have to know yourself. And, you know, I'm blessed to know that I came back out of combat, nothing wrong, nothing happened, but there's things I found out about myself and didn't want to find out about myself. And meshing these two experiences together allowed me to do that. You know, bringing that kind of context without obviously the combat experience to others, you know, really exercises those things that they have to respect about themselves. They may not like it, but they have to respect it. And that's where, you know, the dignity in leadership comes from. The pride, the exercise, the humbleness is knowing that there's failure in good leadership.
Right. Exactly. There's going to be mistakes and you learn from those mistakes and try to be resilient, dust yourself off and move on, because that's where the whole mindfulness piece, I think, comes in. You know, to, we've had a lot of other folks talk about mindfulness techniques and coaching practice. Another question I had, as it applies to you and your craft, I mean, when I think of combat veteran, U.S. Army, I think of all these images, right? Fort Hood, Fort Bragg.
Right.
You know, going to jump school and Benning for some people, this and that. The last word that I'm thinking of is the word intuitive.
You know, I'm right. I mean, I know. I love it.
In the manual, like, no, you ain't like, you know, just like, get up, you know, in your face, you know,
start to start. That's right.
So, no, man, I'm being funny. So kind of, man, you know, walk us through that. Like, how do you go from the ground pounder leader to now kind of into an intuitive frame, and walk us through that journey?
So, you know, the whole intuitive thing I've always had since, you know, I was young. I just kind of ignored it. I never really, you know, thought it was like something to kind of, you know, share or use to my advantage, you know, obviously in a good way, because, you know, obviously in the military, you just shut up and take orders. And, you know, having this intuitive and how I came about it was being really in touch with, how do I say it? Like the vibrations, you know, entered people give off, things give off, and just hearing it and observing it and being with it in that space allows me to get a clear, you know, crystal clear understanding of where this person is coming from by matching that vibration. And, you know, it's taken a while for me not to take in the negativity, you know, obviously that comes with coaching, you know, the that certainty part, which comes with it. But being able to find and pull out this needle that's in this haystack of issues and negativity. And that's what really gets kind of the intuitive vibration going, is matching that positivity that's there. So coming, you know, around it, obviously the military experience has made me kind of, I have a, you know, thing. There's a difference between a reason and an excuse. You know, a reason is absolutely set in stone. You cannot do this. You know, you cannot dunk if you are, you know, 5'6". You have to work at it. It's a lot easier. It's a lot going to be harder for someone who's 5'6" to dunk than someone who's 6'10". So, you know, being able to, and making an excuse saying that there's no work involved or this and that, you know, there is absence to that. And being, using this intuitive mindset and this intuitive, you know, way of being definitely allows. But I had, that's where coaching is such a valuable tool in this toolbox, to actually get realize that they have the answer and how they go about using this tool.
That's excellent, man. I'm glad to see, you know, and a lot of times as men, we don't really acknowledge our intuitive side, you know. So that's really good to hear you be sensitive to that, be able to articulate that, and then build upon it, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it took me a while because I will not lie, you know, again, being as men and, you know, talking to a lot of my military buddies, it took me a while to actually come clean, you know, with certain things. You know, how strong my intuition is. And, you know, a lot of them respected me for it. And, you know, that kind of gave me the confidence that I should be comfortable explaining, articulating, and actually using this as a valuable tool. So, you know, definitely that intimidation was there at first.
So give us an example, Tony, of working with a client and using your intuition.
Okay, so if I have a client who's a who has an issue, you know, I kind of am able to feel the vibration they give off. Obviously, it's very slow, it's very heavy, and it's very dragging. And another thing, once I feel that kind of that negativity, negative energy, if you call it, you know, if you want to get spiritual energy, I call it vibration, same thing. You know, the problem leads to a different problem. And these attract other issues.
Okay.
Okay.
I think I cut out. Bruce, are you there?
Nope, I'm here.
Tony? I think Tony cut out then.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you never know what these calls. So hopefully he'll be able to get back with us and
yeah.
Let's hear real quick. But man, I think that you know, I would certainly, you know, resonate with him if he was my coach. You know what I mean? There's just as a male,
I know,
kind of pseudo executive person, I would really resonate with, you know, with him and his experience and interact with him with the regard and reverence and respect and hear what he has to say and have somebody like that hold me accountable to my goals would be helpful as well. So who knows? I might hire him right off after the show. I don't know.
I'm telling you. I mean, I really, Tony, we lost you there for a minute, but we were talking about you. You know, the combination of the tough guy and the intuition is just, it's quite a drawing card that you have, because you've embraced that part of yourself, of who you are. And you're such a great example of embracing your authentic self and your strengths that you have. And so I think what you were talking about when your voice cut out was that you can, giving an example of a client, you can sense that if there's an issue, you can kind of, you're very aware of the vibrations, and you can sense where it's coming from, where the real problem is.
Right. You know, and one of my favorite things to deal with clients is fear. At a young age, you know, you come to kind of an agreement with fear. You either let it take over or you don't. And it's okay to be scared. Or it's okay to be nervous, but it's not okay to be scared. And, you know, I figure, you know, most people, myself included, you know, we get wound up in the day-to-day and we create this fear because we have expectations. And most of those expectations, you know, we don't even really care about. You know, it's, well, I got to have this nice car, and, you know, my friends have this car or something, and I just can't keep up with the Joneses. Who cares? But you got to keep up with yourself. And once they, you know, and that's just a small example of something, you know, that is fear-driven. And being able to kind of see this and see, like, it's funny because when I feel fear, it drags me down so deep. It kind of takes myself down this rabbit hole. And, you know, I have to combat that by finding the high vibration in what they're saying. And there is always one thing. And being able to find that, you know, again, amidst all this fear, I can pull that out and kind of show them the mirror and say, this is who you're meant to be. This is who you are. And,
wow.
You know, they see that. And so, you know what, that I do remember that person. That person graduated college. You know, that person is a single mom. You know, my parents weren't always there. I had to raise my brothers and sisters. They see the strength in the person who they really are, and they know the person they're, you know, supposed to be.
Wow. So it's really, it's a way of, it's a method that you're using to do appreciative inquiry and help them find their positive anchor.
Absolutely. Definitely.
Wow. So cool. And the fact that you're a tough guy and you do that, I love it. I just love it.
I think that helps because, you know, when there is certain things where I have to be assertive, I think, you know, that military guy comes out of me. But again, it's all with respect and love to the person who they really are, because they can take it. I mean, They can take the fear. They can take this, you know, I guess, this assertive positivity.
Yeah, right. The good truth. Yeah.
So,
that's awesome. Because really, they've spent maybe years combating fear. And you're like, hey, you know what? Who you really are, you've already conquered fear. So why are you still fighting?
Absolutely.
That's really cool. So talk a little bit about, you know, you've talked about this. I know I've heard you talk about your values. Talk about how your values show up in the work that you do for clients.
So, you know, my values, I'm very value oriented because you have to stick to something. You have to have something as a foundation. So, you know, if everything falls apart, you have something to hold on to. And, you know, that's what I bring to the table as far as centering myself and being able to understand at a variable level with certain clients. And I bring those values of one, self-respect. I think, again, you know, being on the intuitive side, when they feel that, they know that I can't be lied to or, you know, feel sorry for them. You know,
yeah.
And I've seen the best parts of the world and I've seen the worst parts. And I don't feel sorry for them. I can't. Because if I feel sorry for you, I'm no longer aiding you or guiding you. I'm pitying you. And that doesn't help anybody.
That's not empowering, yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, again, having those values of self-respect, responsibility, and, you know, motivation, definitely motivation, allows me to explore these different regions, but, you know, actually connecting at the same time.
And it sounds like that's leadership is your values, believing, having these, this belief system, no matter what happens, taking risks and knowing it may not turn out exactly the way you want, taking responsibility for that. Like you said, being humble and accepting that, okay, well, I'm not perfect. Not everything's going to turn out perfectly, but what were my intentions? And then you're helping your clients with that process as well.
Absolutely. It's definitely, you know, controlling the chaos.
Yeah.
You know, I happen to say, you know, there's a lot of things I'm not in this life, but what I am is in control.
Yeah.
And, you know, I proud myself in that because we all are in control. We control the outcome. And, you know, I try to instill that by letting the client see that firsthand, you know, by the questioning, by the intuitiveness, by, you know, showing them, again, that mirror of who they truly are.
Mm-hmm. So you have sort of three specialties in your business from what I understand. One is college grads, the other is veterans, and the other would be business leaders. Talk a little bit about how you help veterans.
So I help veterans by giving them clarity. And a lot of this stems from my personal experience and understanding. When I got out of the military, it wasn't everything I thought it would be. It was a completely different world, especially going into corporate America. You know, you kind of accept things to be easier. And in some cases, they are. But in most cases, there aren't. And, you know, getting a job, for an example, interviewing, these skills that, you know, we feel are so mediocre in the military. You know, we dodge bullets. We, you know, we're in the most hardest terrain. We're dealing with some very aggressive people, both male
life
and
death. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you make that comparison and it's like, well,
oh,
you know,
this is nothing.
That. That's not a problem.
Yeah.
But when it actually, you know, hits the fan, you question yourself. Am I not good enough? What's going on here? And then when you realize that maybe it's your demeanor, you know, the military demeanor is very strong. You can spot out anyone in a room who's been in the military.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by the way they look, by the way they talk, maybe still hairstyle, you know, just you, there, it's there. You can sense it. And, you know, often it's so, you know, it's taught in the military, you need to keep it on. That's your military bearing, quote unquote. But when you come out a civilian, how do you turn it off?
Right.
And it's not just a whole bunch of dudes and bros. It's, you know, turning it off to be a, I call it a corporate citizen. You know, being able to adapt and overcome. But at the same time, you know, how can you keep the good of the military, the camaraderie, the deadlining, the stress, and removing, you know, the language, removing some of the humor, removing some of the, you know, overall certain responsibilities. And that was very hard. I mean, I had 10 years in the military, so it was pretty hard to kind of figure out by myself how to go about this. You know, and being a penetration tester in IT security field, you know, I was a lot of one-on-one. And being a consultant allowed me to kind of express these certain things and know that my military stuff is good. And if mine is good, every veteran's is good. But it's how do we turn it into gold? Because there is a lot of gold there that most veterans don't see because there is no camaraderie, or not as much, from my experience in the civilian world, than there is the military. And that was my biggest thing, is like, I'm so used to having friends and doing things. And friends such on a deeper level that we share the same bloodline over here after 5 o'clock. Well, I'll see you tomorrow or Saturday tea time 6 a.m. That's as far as it goes.
Right.
So, you know, finding these complications and knowing what to do, you know, again, it's finding the gold. You know, a lot of the stuff too in the military is done for us. And a lot of people don't see that. They think we have to work for everything. Well, yeah, you know, certain things, but a lot of stuff in the military is already processed, already done for us. We just have to show
good
up.
Point.
And in the civilian world where you literally have to rake in all those little things yourself and create these opportunities and being able to create, and again, using terms like thinking outside the box, you know, military terms really get the juices flowing. Whereas, you know, on the civilian side, well, you just got to work hard and, you know, keep your head down and work.
Right.
Yeah, but, you know, to stimulate, you know, a veteran is very different. It's like a golden retriever and a German shepherd. You know, it's just great, great both sides on all ends of the spectrum. One has a little bit more different mindset than the other.
Right.
And before it rips up your couch, you definitely have to stimulate it and know how.
Wow. It's a whole new level of adapt and improvise when you come back to corporate America world. And so you can help. That's how you help veterans, is that the mindset, kind of shifting their mindset into a different battlefield in a sense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because it is, you know, it's if you put it in terms of, you know, battlefield or, you know, certain obstacles that you're facing, it's like you make that direct comparison. And that's one of the things I feel like you will, is being able to articulate, you know, like for an example, talking to veterans or going to bases or government contractors as a consultant. I refer to a lot of, you know, like IP addresses or pings as bullets. And
oh, yeah.
Started to get it.
You're using metaphors, you know, yeah, that they can get.
Absolutely. And, you know, instead of, you know, saying pulling the trigger, I push an enter key. And, you know, people say, oh, yeah, okay, now I get it. Now I'm able to, you know, understand what's going on. And again, you know, communication is so key because, you know, in anything you do, and again, this stems from the military, if you ain't shooting or moving, you're definitely communicating. And I feel that's effective in the civilian component as well. If you're not, you know, actively selling or pushing an enter key or being at the midst of a deal, then, you know, and if you're not moving or pushing a sale or moving something, then you definitely have to be communicating. You have to be communicating with your boss, your team, subordinates, superiors, customers, everybody.
Mm. And, you know, I think you mentioned this earlier, communication, how it's, you know, that word is thrown around a lot, and it's kind of sometimes trendy, sometimes not. But it's also so critical to leadership and to getting things done and being productive. And so when it comes to coaching leaders, how do you, you know, you talked a little bit about veterans. When it comes to coaching business leaders, what is unique about coaching them, and what is the same? What's very similar when it comes to the veterans and the business leaders?
What I can say is this similarity is passion. The success is the success and the passion of going forward, being the one on top of the hill.
Yeah.
The difference with the passion and the success is glory. I take glory very seriously because glory is not just money. You know, it's not all high-fiving at the end of a $1 million deal. It's everyone sharing an achievement. And that's often overlooked because we can high-five and at the end, okay, everyone goes home early. No one's celebrating the accomplishment, the overall achievement. And that has to come from the top down.
Mm.
And usually it goes from the top up. You know, hey, you know, we've made the manager look good and we're all getting little bonuses. That's it. No, it needs to be celebrated. It needs to be recognized and not just through a PowerPoint presentation, but an individual, you know, at an individual level. You know, when you get certain awards in the military, a general, a colonel, a higher up, sometimes even the president will come and pin a 25-cent piece of metal on your chest. That acknowledgement is
It honors you and your courage.
Absolutely. And in order to have a functioning team, you have to recognize everyone from the bottom. And see, soldiers are, you know, veterans, you know, of all branches, you know, are particularly good at this, at recognizing that even the most newest person or recent college grad plays a key role in the success of the team. Whereas, you know, I've seen in corporate America where more of the seniors want to take the acknowledgement. And that's fine, but there has to be a session of glory where it's redistributed, because glory is meant to be felt and shared.
And shared. That is a huge point that I don't really hear a lot of people talking about, Tony. That's just a powerful point. What about you, Bruce? Do you hear much about that in corporate America? Because I know you deal with you're coaching a lot of executive leaders.
Yeah, right. And you know, it is kind of an interesting dynamic where, you know, I think if you're in the military, even if you're a 04, 05, 06, you know, officer billet, right? And I mean, you understand that, you know, that sometimes a master sergeant or a chief or a buck sergeant, you know, you really respect and know your line staff, and you know the whole thing is predicated mostly on line staff. And their actions. And so I think he's spot on. I think sometimes in the corporate sector, you know, that culture is not there. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people say, hey, that's why I went to college, so I wouldn't have to be a grunt. I wouldn't have to be a buck sergeant or an NCO level, you know, player, right? That's why I got my MBA, so I wouldn't have to do. And so I think sometimes some of the guys I work with kind of, you know, they understand that the work needs to be done, but it's kind of almost like an entitlement, like, well, it better be because, you know, this and that, and there really isn't.
They're getting paid for it, you know, and they've got benefits. It, right?
There's no esprit de corps, you know, it's churn and burn, you know, and
absolutely.
These companies will eat their young, man. You know, it's just like, hey, you don't deliver, you're out of here. You know what I mean?
And so, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so that's another thing, you know, that Bruce touched up on is the eating young thing. You know, like, it's so often that I see that too. It's like, well, if he doesn't make numbers, he's fired. If she doesn't make numbers, she's fired. Yeah, but where's the reinforcement? What have you done as a leader to propel them for success? Well, I gave them a binder, okay? You gave them a binder of materials. Do you use that binder for materials for your success? Well, no. Then why would you give it to someone who's failing?
Good point.
They kind of stop and they realize, wow, you know, that's me going too fast. That's me not really caring. And that's what that's one of the things I say to, you know, business professionals, that they say, well, how do I become a good leader? You have to care. I don't say it like that though. I say you have to care.
Do it.
I say you have to give a shit. You have to. Yeah. How do you be successful at leadership? You have to give a shit. That's it.
And you know, I think there are a lot of leaders that do care, and sometimes they don't know how to share it, how to really express that and still be authentic and still be a strong leader. That, I think, is a huge advantage that you have, and also an advantage Bruce has, because y'all are tough guys and yet you do care. It's obvious in the fields that you're in that you care.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big part of it, you know. And, you know, once I've established that, well, I do care. What do you care about, numbers or your people?
Yeah.
Both. Okay, so where's the imbalance?
Yeah, how are you showing that?
Forced to ask. Right, and they're forced to look, again, hold in the mirror, and they say, well, I could be better at this, this, and this. All right, let's focus on that. And then, you know, they realize how more of a powerful leader they're capable of being when the numbers aren't involved, because the numbers won't be there.
Yeah, and I want to interject. Sometimes that goes both ways with these leaders. You know, there is the kind of churn and burn and eat your young, but I consulted with a company where the guy was way too friendly to his subordinates, and he was...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Trying to get his emotional needs met and his friendship needs met through his subordinates, man, and they just... Oh, my gosh, they took it to him. You know what I mean? And so just so let listeners know that, yeah, this problem with supervisors can go both ways, you know, either too hostile or whatever, strict to way too friendly and breaking a boundary in the other direction. So anyway,
that's a good point. I think that's where the military has set such a good example, where they have a system, they have tradition, the way they honor people by pinning them. And I'm not saying that that companies should do that, but they do have a way of honoring people that is accepted, widely accepted. And I feel like something that companies, it's easy for a company to do this, is that they reward people with money and it's easy to think that's enough. And I get why, because it's measurable. But at the same time, absolutely, money does, we all know this because we've all experienced it, that money is not the end all be all of meaning and fulfillment and honor and respect. It can be part of it, but it's not the only thing. And that's a point that sounds like you're making with leaders, Tony.
Absolutely.
Wow. Talk about how, you know, we've talked about leaders and veterans. Talk about college grads. How do you help college grads?
So I have a special part, place in my heart for college grads, because they're the new guy. You know, at one point in time, I was a private in the Army, and I was a new guy. And the new guy often, you know, typical grunt work. I don't care how long you've been with college, you're new at any position, you are a grunt. You get the binder full of useless information and told to study it front and back. And
right.
And, you know, when these guys bring up, or, females and males bring up these positions of, well, I just don't feel any purpose in this job. You know, they have these, you know, regrets, or I have to switch another company. And it's not so much them, it's the resources. You know, you have to be resourceful in a company in life, period. And, you know, when I lay out these buffet of opportunities for them, then they start to pick out which ones they're good at. And they're forced to, you know, be in the present of their own individual, you know, positivity. You know, I'm good at writing, so I need to take on this project, take on mission initiative. And they see that, and that creativity is then sparked, and they bring something so, you know, valuable to the workforce, and that's innovation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, what the numbers don't see, that's what the new guy does.
Right.
Because the numbers, the expectation is always there, but how you get those numbers, how do you continuously get those numbers, is the innovation that a lot of new people bring. And I think it's great. So in order to kind of support that, you know, it's definitely getting the mindset of patience. It's definitely getting the mindset of, you know, right now, nothing personal, but right now we're starting. You can't be manager in 6 months. You know, you get that, right? Yeah, but, right. But I want to. And then I kind of make something realistic. Well, I want $1 million in 6 months, and it ain't going to happen. You know, it's, right. Now that we have something in common, let me help you out. Mm. And, you know, once I break that common denominator of realism, then we can start working together. And the brainstorming aspect is wonderful, because they know everything about their company. They studied it. They took the internships. They looked it up online. They've done their research. And then they're able to be effective. You know, once they have the mindset of not feeling as the new guy, feeling as a valuable person of the team.
Mm. And so, talk about success with your clients. So how do you know when a client has achieved success in your program, your coaching program?
So I feel like a client has achieved success when they have found their own individual purpose, motivation, and glory. And it comes, you know, from that aha moment, you know, we're taught in coaching. You know, purpose is often lost. And it's hard to get back, especially when your mindset's not there, but not just your mindset. You know, your feeling, your own individual intuition. And it has to be stemmed from motivation. You know, it has to be. They're one in the same. And if the motivation's there, then you have passion to do something. If it's not, well, we have to see where that stems from. And often that motivation is a lack of creativity. So, you know, it's, you know, I feel it's my duty in a sense to kind of rediscover that fire that makes that person unique, with, you know, and bring that creativity to light, to surface. And I feel that definitely helps out in their success and contributes to finding their own individual glory. Because in order to achieve glory, there has to be an obstacle. Glory is never given. I mean, you know, when I explain that to them, you know, if I gave you $1 million right now,
there's no glory in that. Yeah, right.
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 And then they'd be like, well, yeah, okay, so what if I told you you had to go through this, this, and this, and you'd feel like you had to earn it? See, glory is earned, and again, once it's earned, it can't be taken away, but it has to be inspired, and not just, not by me. I reward it. You know, I contribute to it and applaud it and I champion it, but they have to discover and they have to earn it. And once I see that, that not only gives me the ultimate satisfaction knowing my clients had this breakthrough, but allows them, again, that kind of control they need to take it upon themselves.
You have such a powerful, beautiful way of sharing truth. I could just imagine, I can imagine a college student listening to you and hearing what you're saying and going, yeah, I know that's true. I don't like it, but I know it's true. And
I get that a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. And yet they know that you care. So they know you're not lecturing them. There's nothing in it for you, for them to go through your program, not go through your program, except you care about them and you want to see them succeed. And so what would it look like for a client not to succeed in your program? What would it have to happen for them not to succeed?
The biggest thing is not take action. I mean, we could talk about great things all day, but if there's no action involved, then it's extremely hard to let the body, you know, feel and the soul feel what success is. And then the brain can't understand it. You know, it just sees it as a loss. And then whatever's as a loss, that thought becomes obsolete. And then you can't create through the hands, through the physical being, to, you know, manifest that individual greatness. So their action has to be put into play.
Okay.
Excellent point. And now let's go ahead and
start to
wind down, man. Less than 3 minutes left. So, man, good stuff, Tony. Man, we could just keep going and going.
I could.
Sounds like you just got a great view on what you're doing and how you're doing it. So if you could, Tony, tell our listeners how that they can get a hold of you through your website, social media, email, whatever you like. Go ahead.
Okay. My website is currently under construction, but right now, if, you know, anyone would like to get in touch with me, I can be contacted at boldawakenings@gmail.com.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds good. That's and hopefully your website will get rolling soon. They can Google you and be able to and get a hold of you. So, and you're based out of Texas, but you do things over the phone as well, right?
Correct. Absolutely.
Excellent. Good to know. Good to know. So that way nobody feels geographically constrained. So, all right, folks. Well, again, another great show here on the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'd like to thank Tony, our guest, for coming out today. Just really informative, really good stuff. Folks, come by our social media page, Facebook, Concierge Coaches Show. It's always good to see our listeners come by there. And don't forget, we're on iTunes as well. So we have arranged it so our listeners can download any episode of the Concierge Coaches Show for free, and that's there for you. As and they're also archived on the LA Talk Radio site, and we have a page on LA Talk Radio, of course, latalkradio.com/concierge-coaches-show. All our shows are archived as well, and I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. And Jenny, how can folks reach you?
I could be reached at jhubconsulting.com, and that's jhubconsulting.com.
Awesome, awesome.
Oh,
go ahead real fast if you got something.
Oh, I'm sorry. That contact information for me is boldawakeninggroup@gmail.com.
boldawakeninggroup@gmail.com.
Group, okay.
And we snuck that in there. Another
yes.
At the buzzer. All right, man. Well, sounds good. Well, folks, come by and see us, listen to us again next week. We have a lot of action-packed guests coming your way for the next month or so. So we've had a lot of good interest, and we want to thank all the coaches and everybody out there who's interested in coming on the show. And please continue to submit your requests to us at the Concierge Coaches Show. So until then, until next time, we'll see you next time here on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Take care, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Jenny Hubby, only on LA Talk Radio.